As I mentioned earlier, God, I'm my humble opinion, God is on the move. He's always on the move. But right now, in our day and time that we're living in, and this particular time of the year, which is wonderful, the whole world is focusing on celebrating the birth of Christ. So everywhere you turn, even over in France, where they rededicated Notre Dame, the church over there that burned down 4 or 5 years. It didn't burn all the way down, but it burned down a lot of it. And they managed to go out into the woods and find all kind of oak trees. And it's amazing. The thing looks like now that never happened. Do you know what Notre Dame means? Now, we got a football team called the Notre Dame, and we got some things here. It simply means Mary, Mother of our Lord, Notre Dame. Now, that's in French, I think, isn't it, Phil? Is it French? Notre Dame? I think so. But anyhow, it's celebrating the birth of Christ. And, of course, they, in that particular tradition, they lift up Mary also pretty high. But at least they still know that Jesus is on top of our relationship. But I've been thinking about this as I've watched the news and things going on. God's moving. God's on the move. God is always blessing us with a lot of things if we keep our spiritual eyes and physical eyes open. So as I notice things, and I don't know about where you live or whatever, but I did notice that they're repaving this road out here. And every once in a while, you go to a place and you see they got a detour because they're either working on the road or potholes or something. And we, over where we live on North 19, they just repaved that from the Georgia line down to Monticello. So when I'm up there and I'm coming back, and now it's done, coming back and you come down through there, and as you cross the Georgia line into Florida, the macadam turns black and it's nice and smooth. There's no tire noise, nothing. It's really cool. And so I was thinking, what about life in general? Why do detour signs appear? And why do we have to put up with detour signs? Now, I think at one point, sometimes we have to drive around town, or like yesterday, they had a Christmas parade in Monticello, and we went downtown, and we couldn't get uptown the way we were supposed to go, so here they got these signs out, detour, so we had to go this way, go other way around the courthouse, and then back to home. So, road closure sometimes makes us feel extremely annoyed at times. And the result is usually, if we pay attention to what they're doing in repairing the road, the result is good. We got a cleaner road, a clearer road, a smoother road. They smoothed out the bumps and the potholes, and sometimes what they got to do then is get rid of some of the stray gravel. But it's challenging when we run across those things that are being prepared or renewed in order to make things better. I think that's the best part of a new road. No more detours. And you can just get on your car and just keep on trucking and drive right on through to where you're going. Well, this kind of new beginning, so to speak, that John the Baptist is what we called him, announced during the second Sunday in Advent as we celebrate the appearance of Jesus. So what do we learn from Dr. Luke? Well, it was on the 15th year of the rule of the Emperor Tiberius, Pontius Pilate, governor over Judea. Herod was ruler over the Galilee. His brother Philip ruled over other parts. And then you had Annas and Caiaphas, high priest, and all of this background to exactly pinpoint it to the timing of what John the Baptist was called for, and he went on to make this announcement. Clear the way for the Lord. And he tells us that John went throughout the region of the Jordan River, baptizing on both sides of the river, calling people to come and be baptized and repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So Dr. Luke goes on that said this is the fulfillment of the scripture that Linda just read. A voice in the wilderness is crying, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And every valley should be filled, and every mountain and hill should be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all of humanity shall see the salvation of God. Repentance. I think about that word, repentance, and I used to think, well, that's just an old-fashioned term. We don't talk about repentance that much anymore. Except if you come to Bethel, we talk about it a lot. Because I don't know about you, but I must repent 20, 30, maybe 40, maybe 100 times a day. And what's that mean, repent? Well, it was the central theme of John the Baptist and his message. Everything begins with repentance. So now, in the Hebrew scriptures, the idea of repentance involves turning back, turning towards God in the Greek New Testament scripture. And the word simply means change your mind to make a complete reset and leave your past condition behind and to the reconditioning of your brain towards living a different future. It involves putting your mind and your heart in the condition of being prepared to receive God's grace. It's a profound commitment to align with God's will for your life. And if you notice the words, condition, and how they align, this kind of definition that John must have drawn when announcing about Isaiah's prophecy being fulfilled. In fact, it's the kind of definition of repentance that Isaiah must have imagined. I like to take and imagine myself, and I can picture myself as I imagine being in that area. We were blessed to be able to visit that area in person, but to put myself in the scriptures and to put myself there where the Jordan River is, and John shouting in the wilderness. Well, I think repentance is merely just sloshing over words or about one's past and misdeeds. And you know what happens a lot of times when you want to get a quick fix on something? If you're driving on the road and your car breaks down and you know enough to make a quick fix, in no time at all you're back on the road, but it is a treacherous and a bumpy situation until you get to a place where you can have it repaired. Repentance means a deep reconditioning of the entire road that we live on. You have to deeply get into the dirt and chuck out the stumbling stones in your life. Remove the layer of debris and damage and replace it with brand new material. Now, it may be going to be, if you're fixing a road, it might be concrete, it might be pitch, it might be stone, it might be new macadam. It's a brand new road now you can get on and you can go where you intended to go. But I love the buts and the ifs. Sometimes we look at John the Baptist's call for repentance and baptism as a quick affirmation. But the fact is, that's not how road repair works. It's not a quick process, and repentance sometimes takes us a long time because it requires us to go through some messiness, some digging around in our most secret places. Some removal of unhealthy impedance and some filling of the hole. You know, the hole in your heart that can only be filled with Christ. It's hard to feel that patch, though. And while we may need to take some detours to get to that chosen path, but when God gets to work in your heart and your mind, it's best to take time. It's going to take time for those holes and different things to be rebuilt. So when you emerge, you'll feel brand new. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And you'll find that life's path really has become easier and straighter. Now, Jesus said in this world, you're going to have trials and tribulations. Fear not, I've overcome the world. But all of our trials and stuff, it's not going to disappear. We got to deal with them. But God will give us the wisdom and ability to deal with them. And more importantly, He gives us a way to say, come and talk to me. Prayer. We pray. And we let God do His work. That's what God does best. And I think there's a reason that Jesus came. There's a Greek word that said tekon, which is simply means craftsman or particular a carpenter. That's why Jesus came as a carpenter. We think about his life and how that took place. Because he created us, he built us, he given us everything that we have and need, and that he is the creator. So now, as he come in human flesh, he knows our souls, he knows how we're constructed, because he experienced the same thing, but God manifested in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. So God's call, in a sense, is like a two-way street. As we are called to prepare the way, to make the path straight, and we must not block God's entryway to our heart. You know, that's the unforgivable sin. I know some people manage to do that, shut God completely out of your life. But if you ever worried about if you committed the unpardonable sin, you don't have to worry about it because you didn't, because you still got the God conscious alive and well in your being. But we must be willing to allow God to commence work on our souls. To do soul work is not easy, that we are required in order to receive God's grace. It's called faith, and it's part of repentance. And we must remove the rocks and the stones and the impedance that keep God at bay and unable to enter into our heart. And the second part of the covenant then is God. Every valley will be filled. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways are to be made smooth. All humanity will see the salvation of God. Now, we have history on our side, so we know that happened. And people are still searching for him. And he can be found. If you allow God in, God will begin the healing reparations of our heavy hearts, our sagging spirits, and our ragged road ahead. So sometimes we get to be feeling down and defeated, and I'm no exception. I love the stuff, and when I'm preparing, and a lot of times I'm doing the online service, by the time I'm done recording a message similar to what I brought here this morning, I done preach myself happy. You know? Because you need to take time to let God's Spirit work with your spirit to encourage you, to strengthen you, and hang on to the blessed hope. Because even if Linda's brother passes and goes on to heaven, we know that we have that promise of being together again sometime. It's a wonderful thing, the gift of eternal life. But if you have a hole in your heart that no one has been able to fix for you, God will fill in the gap in your life. God will complete that missing piece. So if your life is a series of too many impossible expectations, too many hills to climb with never a reprieve, too much to do, too much stress, are you feeling exhausted? Like maybe you just can't take one more step? God will make your path walkable again. Keep your eyes on the mark of the high calling and keep on going. It's like looking in the rear view in your car. You don't want to keep looking where you came from. You want to keep looking where you're going. All those things, all those sins, all that stuff, if you repented, it's all in the past, never to be remembered again. So, like me, question for all of us, have you made some mistakes in your life that you feel you can't forgive? You know, we say that in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass. You know, forgiveness and blessings are reciprocal. You got to forgive. You got to forgive yourself. And if you can forgive yourself, you can forgive others. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. That don't mean that what they did to you or different things that's causing all that. You just give it to the Lord. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Give it to me and I'll handle it. And that frees you up for a lot of things. God will set you straight and he'll help you to learn how to walk that new path or a brand new direction in your life. That's why we come to church. We come to church because sometimes we just need a little refresher. We come to encourage one another. We lift up our joys, our concerns, and our prayers, and we fellowship so that we can go back out in that world again with the hedge of protection around us and share it with others. There's a lot of hurting people out there. So if you feel a little rough around the edges or maybe a little angry or bitter, it's human nature, it happens. But this is what you need to think about. Has your grief made you hard, prickly, or heavy-hearted? And do you struggle with a past that seeks to consume you? I struggled with that for a long time. And even now sometimes, where the devil likes to attack me, especially when I'm trying to go to sleep at night, and my mind just goes here and there and yonder, and reminding me all the things I didn't do and all that. I just say, Lord, I need to put that stuff out of my mind. Help me do that. And eventually I'll just feel the peace that passes all understanding come upon me. And next thing you know, Judy says, I'm snoring. So I don't know how that works. But if you build a fortress of protection around yourself that no one can expand, we spend a lot of time in Holy Spirit school because that is the protection and the fortress that's built around you. Jesus said he would never leave us nor forsake us. You say, okay, well, he ain't here today. Yeah, he is, because he sent the Holy Spirit to be with you, to be the paraclete, the one who comes alongside with you every waking moment of your life. God will smooth out your rough exterior and allow you to be vulnerable and feel loved and loving again. For God has not come to judge the world, Jesus told us, but to save it. So when God comes into your life with that simple prayer, and you open your heart and receive it, and it matches with your spirit and your soul, you will see and know God's healing touch. And your life will never be the same again, in Jesus' name. So, do you want to just sail along on the smooth road? Or do you want to just sail along and recognize life's icebergs that are in the way? Or do you want to find solace in the midst of storms? I think that we believe in God, and we believe that God can restore even the most roughed up life. I'm a life that was restored. You know, when people truly make an attitude of repentance and change their life, which I did back in 1986, you know, and when I went and appeared before the Board of Ordained Ministry, one of the people that was interviewing me said, I think you wear your alcoholism as a badge of honor. I don't know if you can handle being a preacher and getting haughty and all that. And I said, no, I don't wear it as a badge of honor. I wear it as a testament of God's grace. I know what I was like. I know what I am like now. And I know what happened in between. Most of it, the last 30-some years, has been pretty good. But the devil still likes to play tricks on me. So I said all that to say this for your own personal edification. All you have to do is let him in. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that I need a Savior. That's the good news. This is the news that we celebrate in the time of Advent. The meaning behind the birth and the incarnation of Jesus Christ. He's come to repair the world. And all of humanity will see God's salvation. That's what the prophets prophesied. That's what Scripture says. And that's what Jesus said, and I believe it. If Jesus said it, I believe it. And where can you find that? Right here. There's no soul too wretched for Jesus not to heal. There's no heart so damaged for God not to be able to repair it. And there's no rocky road too rocky for Jesus to clear the path. And there's no one, absolutely no one beyond God's loving care. Oh, it may take some time. And I'm still being pruned, and I got a long way to go, but I thank God for the journey. And I had a couple of detours along the way, and you will get some detours, but I love the buts. The results will always be worth it. So this Advent season, as we celebrate Advent of the past, when Christ was prophesied to come, when Christ came and we celebrate his birth, and then when he went on to be with the Father through the ascension, and as he was going, he said, I'll be back, guys. That's what we do. We stay in constant Advent, waiting for his return. He said, you'll know it. I'll break the eastern sky. And when my feet touch down in the Mount of Olives, it'll split away. And then, you know, I want you guys to be with me to set up my kingdom here on earth. So the Advent season is a time to think about our relationship with God, because it's personal. Your relationship is different than mine, although it's the same God and it's the same results, but we all have different pathways. But God will make the path straight if you trust him and open your heart to him. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful day, and thank you for the many gifts that you have bestowed upon us. Thank you for the gift of salvation. That's the most wonderful thing. And you've become the perfect Savior, because you came in human flesh, born of the Virgin, came through the birth canal like we all did, and experienced all these things in life, including being spit upon, questioning your integrity, then arresting you and crucifying you. But when you hung on the cross and you said, oh, my God, why have thou forsaken me? I often wondered about that. It was because Jesus had the sins of the world on his shoulder. He was the perfect Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. And when God looked upon his Son hanging on the cross, God could not be in the presence of sin. But when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, then he gave up the ghost. We got this old boy now. We're going to put him in that cave over there, roll the stone over, and we're done with him. No. 3 days later, you rose from the dead. Seen by many, proving that you broke that bondage that Satan held over all of us, the fear of death, breaking that bondage, and giving us hope and joy, and being able to send people into the world to continue your ministry up to now present day time, 2,000 some odd years later. And you laid out in your word exactly what we as latter disciples living in this day and time, what we need to do to help prepare the way, as John the Baptist did. We each have an individual calling to prepare the way for the return of the Lord. Prepare the way for the Lord to come into somebody's heart. Encourage one another. We have a biblical mandate to do that. So, Father, we thank you that we serve a God who not only created us, but knows us inside and out. And we give you the glory this morning in Jesus' precious word. Amen.